You are tuned in to the Casual Sports Show, the only show that gets you, the fans, involved in Arizona sports talk.
Suns, Booker, for the win, yes!
We'll be back in a while, so nobody go nowhere.
Can't get right.
Right here on the hottest internet radio station on the web, your KSR and Casual Sports Radio Network.
Hurry.
Welcome into the Casual Sports Show. Your host, Earl Burnett, a.k.a. Casual E, and the one and only Sean McConnell. And we are here to talk about, man, what a no disappointment this week. What a wow type of game that was, man. And let me ask you this question. Were you doing any flips, or were you screaming? Or I mean, what was your atmosphere in the house watching a game that you definitely didn't expect to go that way?
Well, I'm going to find what I'll allude to is that I'm in the neutral zone, and the reason why is because I picked the Cardinals to lose this game. I was really thought that the Titans were going to win. I had no I was the Cardinals to lose the game, and I was pleasantly, you know, hey, I'm glad to be wrong on this one, and I will take that and be fine with it. So I know, Earl, you're having a little bit of a camera issue, but that's all right. We'll get you back in a second. But yeah, these Cardinals, man, they played a game that was predicated on Chandler Jones and no one else. This game was decided by one man, and he wore the same number twice. This is number five. It was Chandler Jones, man.
If you haven't already checked it out, the article I just put up after that game, of course, on the KSRNAZ.com website, of course. And it's me eating crow, of course, because like I said, I came out doing the exact same thing, man. Y'all saw my predictions and everything, which I should have known better to do a prediction, because predictions based off the last year's on anybody's team right now is not a good thing to do, because you don't know what team you're going to get from any team. But
true.
I mean, what we saw in that preseason game just really struck me as, man, is this thing, how can this thing get any better when they haven't had any live reps? A little low in the beginning. It kind of looked like Cardinals with the penalties, keeping them.
These Cardinals, man, I don't know. They did a lot to prove us wrong in 1 week.
In one week. So, I mean, do we get excited over one game? But I mean, I guess to me, what causes me to kind of get a little bit like, okay, what makes this any different than any other time that they won? Like last year, they won, you know, the opener. That opener they won last year was like we had to find a way to pull a rabbit out of a hat, despite a bunch of penalties, despite a bunch of, you know, chemistry not working yet, but we still found a way to pull that game out, because it was a division game, and it was like, you know, it was like they barely had to find a way to win that game. This game,
you keep losing this camera, man. It keeps dropping out your audio and everything. I will speak to this. This game, like you were about to say, it was entirely different. This was a butt whooping in every sense of the word. It was an entire dismantling of what I was calling a Super Bowl favorite in the Tennessee Titans.
That's where I was going. And the team that they played was a Super Bowl caliber team. I mean, unbelievable. And so, definitely get to that. I know there's a lot we can cover on that, but let's go ahead and figure out and talk about some other stuff that's going on around the world of sports.
Yeah. It didn't. Oh, man. Earl, the worst camera luck today. But his camera is probably getting attacked as we speak.
It
if he
is.
Could just I, find a I way what it is. To
it's
get
him
himself...
in and out.
Taylor on can't the camera being sacked. This camera's give me something to ramble about while you switch cameras now. So even even if it's just your phone and you just hold it up like this, fine. Just give me a topic and I'll ramble on about it for like 2 minutes. I'll give you 2 minutes.
Here's the topic. Okay, this is what's going on in the world of sports. Three things are guaranteed. Taxes, well, death, but...
This is dead again. This is too good.
This is too funny. Death, taxes, and Josh Gordon get reinstated. Go.
Josh Gordon is reinstated. Yes. Okay. Okay. First off, let's go with death. Yeah, that's happening. Your camera is case in point. Death keeps happening to this camera that you have. And is shout out the brand of this camera that Earl toss it in the trash. Because, oh my goodness, what's going on with that? Taxes, whatever taxes this company of this camera is bringing in, they need to pay you back. You need a refund, big way. And Josh Gordon, I don't know what magic is to just hop in and out of like he's playing hopscotch. I don't get it. I hope that he can turn into something. I mean, I would say that Antonio Brown was a less scary of a situation, whereas Josh Gordon, he's got a lot more he's got to figure out, and he hasn't played in a long time, it feels like. So, for a long duration, as well as Josh can do something, because you want to see guys succeed and make a turnaround. But, man, I tell you what, that is going to be an interesting sight to see what happened with Josh Gordon. If you guys are tuning in Thursday, we are bringing back the Neutral Zone. It's a week late, but we want to make sure we have all our guys in there. We're going to have Ed Smith, Javon Adams, me, Earl. We make picks Thursday. We pick the games. This year, we're going to go not every game, the matter, the one interesting, and obviously, we'll always still have a section to bring game Thursday, same time, 8 p.m. Space. Glad to get the Neutral Zone back up again. Jays last year. I never gave it to him. I kept it because supposed to win. He cheated. I'm gonna say that on air. He cheated. So I got the trophy two times. I'm a two-time champ. Going for my third. We'll see what happens. Earl, I see your face. Let's see if I can see your voice or hear your voice. That was longer than 2 minutes. I ranted as best I could.
I know, man. I'm sorry about that, man. And this camera's kind of crazy looking, so it's got me kind of squished up.
Well, hey, you know, let's just say you're under pressure, you know, like Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
Oh, no, I don't feel pressure no more with this stuff. It is what it is, bro.
No, just the pressure of you being squeezed.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Damn. Sorry about that, everybody. Technical difficulties, live radio, that's how it goes. But here I am. I'm back again with this jacked up camera. I mean, I did a show with Benny and him on the dang on special, and what happened at the end of the show? Damn camera just started going crazy. So I guess it's outdated. You know, equipment you have to kind of update, I guess. I don't know. I got to figure it out. But
I tried to do the GoPro thing for a minute, but the GoPro that I bought and I was really excited and I convinced the wife to let me get didn't work with the Mac, so I'm still using the Mac webcam. I just have the ring light with the Mac webcam, so it looks good enough.
That sucks.
So, you know, I know. So now I got a GoPro that I don't even use.
A GoPro. Oh, damn. Okay, what else can we talk about that's going on in the world of sport? A lot of injuries. A lot of injuries on week one, bro. A lot of key injuries.
Parity and injuries, man.
In the NFC West. The NFC West in our division, of course. The San Francisco 49ers get affected with one of their key running backs, Akeem Mostert. Went down. And he is out for the season. Destroyed my fantasy football. Sorry, that don't mean anything. My bad. But anyway, yeah, but he's down. And so that changes things for the 49ers. But one thing about that 49er team, bro, is they can stick any running back in that system, and they're going to be successful. We saw the kid that took over. I didn't even know who that was. Like, who was this running down the field? Some dude named, I forgot his name. I was like, who is this kid? And he was running down the field, scoring a touchdown. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can stick any running back into their system, and Shanahan's going to make it happen. So what do you think about that? Will it affect the NFC West standings, them having no Raheem Mostert, who is pretty much key to what they do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's for San Fran to lose. And not just that, they have a couple more injuries here that they may not be longer duration, but they're definitely going to be affecting the week in and week out. So I think, you know, San Fran got put on notice this year as well, this right in this game as you got to keep up, because this NFC West is undefeated right now. And we might, if had that injury not happened, I think the NFC West might have stayed that way until one of us played each other, which is how crazy this division is this year. So yeah, I think San Fran takes a little bit of a step back. And I heard some other radio guys talking about, look, they looked at all the games that the NFC West teams played. And out of those four, the Cardinals game looked to be the most impressive. It was the hardest opponent. It was the biggest point differential. It was like, what? Like, that wasn't supposed to happen, right? Like, we were supposed to be like, all right, we're fourth. But that didn't happen. Now we're looking like front runner favorites, and people are already talking about all the accolades in week one. Holy cow, calm down.
Right.
Because I still got some beef with Kingsbury in this game, especially the first quarter.
Definitely some things we can still.
It wasn't perfect.
We can definitely stick to where, you know, like I said, I'm not dialing back too much what I said all coming in, but I am kind of eating crow because, you know, they look, I definitely didn't expect that type of performance. Let's just be honest. Nobody did.
Nobody.
But at the same time, I look at some things like what Kingsbury is doing still. And what I do see, and I will give him this much credit, is that he is trying different things and trying to do things, you know, trying to learn on the go, on the job, pretty much. You can tell that's what he's doing, because he's still having issues with his timeouts. He's still having issue with when to call those timeouts. He's having issues with personnel coming in and out, not knowing who's supposed to be on the, you know, on the field. And I was like, and I know that's not all on him, and there's other coaches that are doing that with him, but it's still, you're coming into game one, you're supposed to be prepared, and that's part of being prepared. And a lot of that's got to do with, you know, him being the coach too. So, I mean, I don't know. But that's nitpicking, because he did a good job in for the most part. But I don't know, man. I'm looking at this game one, and I'm happy that they won. And I, like I said, I'll be the first to come out and say I was wrong about it. But am I really wrong? I mean, really? I mean, we'll see. Can they be consistent and play like this every single? Well, I can't say every game, but I mean, somebody's gonna challenge you, and you know, and you're gonna end up losing a game here and there. But the whole thing is they're competing, and they didn't give up, or they did a lot of shooting themselves in the foot early, but at the end, and when it all boiled down, they executed and did what they had to do. So one thing you're looking at, history always plays a part in all these games, but they defied history as well. I mean, what is our record going into these East Coast games in the morning? You know, we don't do too
not good. Not good, no.
Exactly. So now they go right in there on the game one and bam, and knock it out of the park. So, I mean, hey, I will continue to eat this crow as long as they continue to do what they're doing. I'll be happily eating this crow. I'll fry it. I'll put it in grease. I'll do whatever I got to do to keep eating it, as long as they keep playing the way they playing. But we'll see how that goes.
This was the hardest team outside of their division that they would play, in my opinion. I mean, you got the Browns and Packers, but the Packers didn't look good in week one. They'll fix it by the time we play them. But those two teams are the only other ones I would consider outside of the division. The division's tough. If we can go 500 in the division, that's a win for me.
Right.
Because that division is brutal. But the fact that you take out the Titans in week one, and then I'm looking at the next three games until the next two games until you play the Rams, I'm thinking, hey, this is, you know, shout out to JB and Benny Blue. The state of the Bird Gang might be looking pretty nice after four games. I'm just saying.
I'm glad you said that. Shout out to the Bird Gang that traveled, the Bird Gang Travel Club that traveled down to Nashville and just showed out.
They're becoming the infamous Bird Gang. They also became like the Phoenix Suns Travel Club when the finals were coming up. They, right. Shout out to those guys.
Shout out to my man awesome. Mike Girardi. He was out there with them, dude, with that group, and they showed out. Said they were pretty loud too. I mean, it was quiet because we were shutting them up. So I mean, hey, we pretty much took over the stadium. So
a lot of sad awesome. Country music in Tennessee that day.
And the Travel Club does this every year. They go somewhere to disrupt somewhere. They try to get together and do it. So shout out to the Bird Gang Travel Club, man. Them dudes put it down. I think I'm going to try to see if I can get in that one time and go wherever they're going.
Yeah, do it for me because, you know, I can't, but do it for me. I'll even give them some free pub right now, birdgangtravelclub.com. I'm sure they still have tickets available for some games. They try to make it to a lot of the away games. They make everything unique, fun to the environment that you're going to. I love watching them go. I'm jealous that I can't make it, but if I could, if I didn't have four kids and limited budget, I would definitely blow all my money on Bird Gang Travel Club, man, because it's a great way to see a stadium you've never seen or a state. Right. They were touring the Grand Ole Opry. They were doing all types of good stuff in Tennessee that I would have loved to have done, but shout out to those guys, man. Way to represent.
Bro, those guys put it down. We're going to take a little break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to get into some of the details of this game and who's the performers that stood out, and was there anything bad in this game? I'm pretty sure they can find some things to work on, but let's talk about it. We'll be right back. Casual Sports Show, Sean McConnell, Earl Burnett. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back into the Casual House. Go ahead and follow us on our four major outlets, all with the same tag, KAZUAL, and the Z at the end of the word sports. And that's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our YouTube page. Also, if you have not done so, please go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube page, because that thing's about to get really crazy. We're going to do some wonderful things coming up in the next couple of weeks. That's going to make that thing increase. So if you haven't followed us or if you haven't subscribed, go ahead and do so to the YouTube page at Casual Sports. Also, www.ksrnaz.com. You can also subscribe there as well. Appreciate you, Bird Gang. All right, man. We're back in Larry Fitzgerald. He said, you know, he came back in on the rejoin and was like, you know, we listened to the Casual Sports show, you know, whatever. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. But you heard him on his show. Speak about, you know, where he did. Does he sound at all like a dude that's itching to play football at all to you?
I'm thinking, man, he's just kind of relaxed right now. Yeah, he's just having fun, relaxing, and just chilling. And I'm happy for him, but I'm also sad, right? Because like, I would love to see him be a part of that environment on Sunday, and the environment next, or I will be really pumped to be there, but it's going to be weird. It's still weird not seeing him just be there. And I know right now we've kind of just been using him as like this, I don't know, what would you want to call it, like this enigma or something. Like just kind of like he's just there. He's always there. Whether or not he's being used, it's like I want to see him be there and I want to see him be him. And he wasn't right. being used in this off. It's brutal. It's brutal to be a part of it. The fact that there's like nothing being said, there's no closure. It's rough. It's rough for us fans, man. I don't know what to make of it.
Right. Shout out to my man, Kyle Odegaard, who said what every last media head was afraid to say. He came out on a tweet and just said that, you know, the Cardinals were, I'm paraphrasing, Cardinals were being, I forgot, like he was holding them back or something. Well, I don't know the exact tweet, but he said it that nobody wanted to say it and everybody's thinking that. And maybe that's the whole the case is maybe Fitz was holding this organization, you know, back a little bit, you know, and they just went on and moved on. And now wouldn't it be really weird for him to all of a sudden, I want to come back. That would disrupt all of what's going on right now. And I don't think a lot of people on this team would not want him to come back right now.
I don't even know that he would want to, because for what? To catch 10 balls in a season? I mean,
right.
For 10 targets, it's not like he's going to drop one. Yeah.
And they ain't going to throw him out there just because you're Larry Fitzgerald. You didn't have no practice, no training camp, no anything. So how are we just going to throw you out there? So, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a – I don't know. Is this just Larry's way of just being Larry? You know how he never really wants to be in the spotlight and put his name out and, you know, in lights and look at me, everybody. I'm retiring. So maybe he's just fading away his way. You know what I'm saying?
He's like the Tim Duncan of basketball minus the rings. I mean, it's just kind of like.
Exactly. He doesn't want the big, you know, hurrah and speeches. And he's just going to try to just fade off into the sunset and nobody's going to even know what was going on. He's going to be gone. It's like, damn, and then when you consider his last game and how the things went last year, it's like, man, that sucks that you got to go out like that. But he's in control of that. So that's cool. But let's talk about this game, man. Coming into this thing when it started, of course, like we said earlier, we saw the penalties and that has to be all a part of not having a preseason, not having the continuity through preseason chemistry and all those things. So 9 snaps of live action and 3 of them are 3 and outs. So, I mean, they all were 3 and outs, 3 and outs, 9 snaps. So we didn't really do anything. So
it was efficient.
Really expecting them to be this efficient and this dominant early. I mean, it was one series where they were breaking, you know, they should have put up a 40 burger in this game because they should have scored a touchdown in that first drive. And of course, our man missed his first field goal. So that would have put it at 41 either way. So, but anyway, I mean, let's talk about how this game went down. And of course, we know Chandler Jones and the whole, you said something on a tweet. I don't know if it was this game. And you said something about that front line is I'd have to change my mind. This front line is serious. It's a real serious front line.
We talked about the speculation when JJ Watt came in and what it could do.
Good, right.
We saw not just that. I mean, you cannot double team anybody.
Right.
Anybody. Because if you do, Simmons, Golden, man. Peters, comes back, Gardeck, there is nobody that you can just let run free. These guys are fast, pissed. Chandler Jones was knocking the brakes off of Tannehill. I thought he was going to snap in half. And Tannehill's like a pretty durable dude.
I'm going to say that what you just said, that's what makes this defense and this team seem different. When was the last time
they hit people?
The Cardinals be that physical. Exactly. That's what I was about to say. When have you ever seen them to be this physical? Where they're
the last time
around and hitting everything that moves in the opposite uniform.
The last time we had that. And it was only 2 dudes. It was DJ Swearinger, who always got penalized for doing it. Exactly. AW, yes, that's a little bit further back. I was thinking more along the lines of Tony Jefferson.
I don't know. I don't.
He would thump people.
I can't even put them in this category. I mean, look.
No, not like this. No, because we have linebackers doing it.
This is crazy. I mean, last year and the year before, we would always be doing these Cardinals games, analyzing, and we come and talk about it. We always used to wonder why are receivers running free? Remember? Why is nobody around the ball? Man, that game, I watched that game three times. And I like every time on defense, somebody, two, three guys around the ball. Yeah. I mean, when the ball's being thrown, somebody's there. Either they're going to knock it down or they're going to hit somebody and draw it loose or they're going to definitely tackle somebody. I was like, wow, this team is flying around hitting. I didn't even recognize the team do it on defense. It was crazy, but
I love it. Go to your point even more, we couldn't even play our old way on the secondary of playing 10 yards back because the quarterback had no time to even make a decision. And what that does for a team is incredible. And I'll go even further. Jordan Hicks did not get cut, did not get traded. We didn't get to talk about this.
Right.
They played him and Simmons and Zaven at the same time. Not a lot, but they did a little. And to me, okay, fine. Like,
yeah, Hicks had the most.
Because Jordan doesn't have to go in coverage. Played. He doesn't have to go in coverage. Fine.
Right.
Just keep. Fine. Please. That worked.
Yeah.
Did he finally figure it out? Because that worked.
Right. I think that's right on point. I mean, Hicks, he played his way. He performed his way to stay in the lineup and to be the starting linebacker. Because we know that Collins is going to come along eventually at some point. I think, like I said earlier or on a previous show, I think midseason he'll be really got it together. But if Hicks continues to perform, I like how they keep it the way it is. Just let it be what it is. He was on the field. He had the second most minutes played on the defense. Hicks was out there more than anybody was on the team out there on the defense.
There's two things that Steve Keim has to do. Step one, and I told you this and he didn't do it, but step one should have been the money bag should have been in Chandler Jones' visiting locker room by the time the game finished. Talking is cheap. Get the money in the locker room before the game finishes. Should have happened. Second thing.
What do you think about that? You think they should actually pay him now? Or you think?
Hell yeah.
I mean,
hell yeah.
When you think about real business sense, will it make real business sense to do that? Because they have the leverage. Cardinals have the leverage. But a performance like that might be balancing the leverage on the other side a little.
You can make it very performance based and have it taper off on year three and four. You can do that. Because we have enough youth that we're not going to be having to re-up the rookie deals quite yet. I mean, we got Kyler's to worry about, but I think you have to do that. I think at this point, Chandler's going to retire a Cardinal and he's going to break the sack record for the Cardinals. He's going to this year. I think he might break a sack record nationally. So I'm just saying, you got to pay that man because if we finally get a taste of the playoffs with this team and then you let Chandler go, that whole defense is going to fall apart.
Right.
Because it's all now predicated on that defensive line. You just proved that when you have a line like that, do so much more because the time though just shrinks right up.
Right.
So you have to pay him. I don't think it's any question. I think you just give him a blank check and say, fine, we'll do it. Now, the second thing that Steve Keim should have done, he should apologize to Jordan Hicks publicly on the radio and be like, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong.
Yes.
I might have whiffed on that Zaven's pick.
Or he might be that type of dude to come back. I know we did that on purpose to get him to light a fire under him to do what he was doing.
He would say that too.
They'll come off with something like that.
He would say that.
Kind of them
come on, that man. Stuff, man.
But yeah, I agree with that. They owe him a big time apology. Matter of fact, if I'm Jordan Hicks, I'll get him the silent treatment just like Chandler's doing right now. Just give him the silent treatment. Don't say nothing. Don't say a word because your play is doing it for you, man.
That's true.
Let's talk about the rookies on that defense. You would have thought coming in at some point those rookies would get exposed. Marco freaking Wilson played Julio up straight up, played AJ straight up. This kid, man, this kid is as physical a corner as I've seen in a long time and not backing down from any big name. And he is skilled and able to keep himself close to a receiver and keep that hawking eye on where that ball is. He is one hell of a dang cornerback and going to be a star in this league. I mean, it's incredible how we come off of Peterson and we get that gem out of the dang on draft and get lucky and we get both Murphy and Wilson, and now our corners are solidified again. It's like I didn't see anybody struggle to the point where they got exposed in that game.
But I think what helps with this is because, again, I'm going to keep beating this dead, because the window is so short for the offense to do something, right, that Vance Joseph's just saying, okay, my DBs, just jam. Put it on bread, eat it, just jam all the time. Be as physical as you can, right, because they got 5 seconds tops.
Right.
If that defensive line chemistry changes, because if that line changes and we have to move some pieces to whatever injury or what have you, then best of what these corners can do on play breakdowns, that's right, a lot more film. But I hope that is, because I love from a defensive strategy. They called it a master. It was a
that was beautiful, man. I mean, if every performance can look like that, they have the recipe that's playoff and Super Bowl bound. I mean, you got a defense that can do that in a running game now, too, that 136 yards rushing. I mean, that looks like everybody else in the division. You know, as a matter of fact, everybody in the division had 130 plus yards rushing the ball. I mean, it's definitely one thing we can definitely say is this. It's definitely not an air raid offense. That's for sure. And it's definitely not the same defense from last year. It's Vance Joseph. You got to give him his props. The dude is skillfully just cultivating this defense and making it in whatever he wants it to look like. It's looking like it now. So props to Vance. I mean, we gave him a hard time when he came in and how things looked, but he got the personnel that he needs. And man, sky's the limit for this team. If they can stay healthy, they could be the top. They were the top defense yesterday on the fantasy football for sure. So
I mean, hey, when you get that many sacks and an interception to boot, that'll help.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Isaiah Simmons starting to look like the beast that we thought he would be. I mean, man, this dude. I saw it. Did you see what I put on Facebook about that play he made coming across the line? You gotta check out my Facebook page. I put that play of Isaiah Simmons breaking through the line.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that kid. He's all over the place.
He went toe to toe with the biggest running back
all day
ever.
Long, yeah, all day long. So you got to think that's going to be next week's game plan as well, because they got the same thing. Dalvin Cook is not Derrick Henry, but he's a load to deal with.
Yeah.
You do the same exact game plan. You got to shut down Dalvin Cook, and you get that pressure up on Kirk Cousins. This thing is done. But we're going to talk about that game coming up in a minute. Let's talk about the offense now. Kyler Murray already in the talks of MVP. We only one game in. But I ate crow on this kid too. I gotta admit, I sat back watching this game. Like I said, I watched it three times and I had to go, man, you just never know when this dude is getting it. And it looks like he's starting to get it from a mind standpoint, like reading defenses.
Yeah.
I mean, manipulating defenses at the line of scrimmage. That's scary. And with this dude's talent, how he throws the ball and runs the ball, and he can start reading and manipulating defenses, he is going to be unstoppable. And you're talking MVP, man, that's the recipe right there. But I'm not going that far yet. But I think he's locked in. I really do. I see his aneurysms and his body language, his mindset seems like, we're not going to let up. I'm locked in. And that's a good thing. This dude is balling. Yep.
He looks – the difference that I'd like to compare it to is last season, he looked like he was always trying to make a wow play. And I'm not going to base the whole season on one game, but this game, he looked like he was out to kill.
Right.
It was way different. Now, he still had that whole, I don't like having to run 30 yards to either get a pass or to get back to the line of scrimmage or to give yourself a sack. I don't like throw the ball away. We still need to work on those things. But if we can find a way for the line to not let that stuff happen, I think his legs are going to last longer, and then we can start utilizing him in situations like that megawatt package. Did you see that?
Right.
Where they had Fotu and Watt in, and Kyler's like, psych, I'm going this way, and you have nothing you can do about it.
Play call. Good play
call. Just a hell of a decoy. And then the next time we play that, we'll run left.
We did not see a whole lot of the wide receiver screen stuff. I saw.
Thank God.
You know what? Exactly. I mean, the one we did see, I was happier when I saw it because Rondell Moore is the real deal.
That's who you can use it for. Finally, they found one.
That kid is. I'm like, I guarantee he's gonna break a punt return this year at least once, and he's gonna have one of those screens. He's gonna take to the house at least twice this year.
He looked like he wanted to take the one kick return back. Man, he had a 22-yard return.
That kid's electric. But looking at this offense, and everybody's been calling it. I even opened the year up. Everybody's been opening up the before the season started, and our predictions and all these things, calling this thing an air raid, and this doesn't look anything like an air raid offense. I mean, when you look at what we did in that game and how many times we saw three tight ends on the field, how many times did we, two tight ends and three tight ends. It can't be an air raid when you got three of the slowest guys on the offense on the line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So how can it be an air raid? So I like how the mix of the run and then that strong tight end set. And then every once in a while, you'll see that four receiver thing come in. And man,
yeah, it seems more of like a vertical RPO. Exactly. I don't know. That might not be a thing yet, but I'm gonna call it a thing.
A vertical
can we talk a little bit? I know Edmonds. We knew what we were gonna get with Edmonds, and he had 63. He was on 12 carries, had great production. But can we talk about James Conner just throwing people off him? Like he was like, "I'm Derrick Henry." I was like, "Holy cow!" I
mean, but that was to be expected from Conner, though. That's how he always ran when he was in Pittsburgh. Same.
But
way.
A little bit of the is he healthy enough? I mean, that
right. I don't think he's thinking about physical, health right now. Man. The way he's running right now, like he's
he's worried about their health that he's throwing them off of. He's like, "I'm sorry, you should probably call your insurance."
That was a pretty dang good defense he was running against too. So yeah, keep that in mind. I mean, he. When you play the teams that are a lot less than the Titans on defense, he's going to probably have one of them big days. He might even outdo Chase every once in a while just because he's going to be that guy that when a game's in our hands, go ahead and feed this dude, let him go ahead and put the game away. And that's exactly what he did in that game. So
yeah,
they have every component, man. And I know it's one game. I don't want to jump too crazy. And especially after my prediction coming in, but I mean, we don't want to jump too crazy. But
they set the bar with this game, didn't they?
They did. They everything.
This
they
is did, your potential.
I was looking for something to say. They got to work on that. Got to work on that. Got to work on that. Yeah, you can see some things instantly that they have to work on. And of course, the mental stuff is the jumping off sides and all the dumb stuff they do in that first drive. But
yeah,
from a drive standpoint, from execution standpoint, from Kyler and the receivers being on point to get everything was clicking. I mean, I'm like, wow, I've never seen that. It's been a minute. In fact, it's clicking so good. Can you believe a stat like this? Since 2006.
Oh, no.
Since 2006, this is the first time since 2006 that we scored points on our first two possessions. No. I saw that. I said, no way. I looked it up, dude. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's crazy to me because I remember the one San Fran game where we had like six picks, it felt like, in a row off Kaepernick. I remember that game. Like,
I'm talking about the offense coming out and scoring points on punching first. It in. Two possessions. I'm like, wow. Okay, that's crazy. I start thinking like, that can't be right because I started with Kurt Warner was here. We had Carson Palmer. I'm pretty sure. But every time we don't score a touchdown, or we might score a touchdown. We don't do it, and they only want to. But two times back to back on a drive.
You know, I'm checking checking my anxiety. That feels actually kind of right because I always remember like. Oh, here we go. We didn't score on the first drive. That feels actually right the more I think about it. Yeah.
Checking your exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because we saw many and countless games where we just like, man, we came out in the lethargic and we came out, couldn't score. We came out. But to think that we scored it, we should have scored two touchdowns, but we got field goal two and a touchdown's fine.
It does help when you have great field position. On those two drives.
That's true.
So, like, I'm gonna put a little asterisk right there. This was accomplished by Chandler Jones and no one else. That's what I'm gonna put that right there. A little disclaimer.
That's so true. I mean, we know how the game went. I mean, 38-13. We saw the game. We saw the passing game. We saw DeAndre Hopkins, 2 touchdowns. Christian Kirk, 2 touchdowns.
Beautiful.
That's stuff we were expecting to see. Give me something that you did not expect to see and who performed outside of what you thought was going to happen.
Let's see. To me, Byron Murphy kind of stood up the most. Ooh. The fact that he was doing that to Julio and getting in Julio's head. Like, Julio, I think, was pissed because Peterson's not on our team anymore, and he usually eats Peterson alive. Exactly. I think that's why he was mad. I think he was trying to take it out on us. But that shocked me. What also kind of shocked me a little bit was the lack of A.J. Green. Maybe it's just because of Kirk and Hopkins' success in this game that maybe they were kind of finding more ways to get open. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's just this is A.J. Green's role. Maybe he is the number three receiver instead of the number two, like people were thinking. Mm-hmm. Kirk's performance is telling me he might be your number two, especially if he's popping off the top of the defense and going, "Hi, my breadbasket's full and I'm in the end zone and you didn't even know about it."
I don't think that. I mean, yeah, could that end up happening if he keeps performing this way? Yes, but I think AJ's two, and the reason why I say that is because Kirk, everything you see him get was in the slot, and it's because of those guys on the outside. Yeah. And that's good. That's a good thing. I think if you take him away, take that element away, he's not going to be the same receiver. But if he continues to do what he's doing in the slot, then yeah, he's got that number three down pat. I think AJ had enough targets. He might have didn't catch enough ball, but he had some targets that were off a little bit with him and running a route a little bit with him and Kyler still trying to get on the same page. But
yeah, that's fair. He was two catches on six targets.
To me personally, he looks like AJ though, to me. Now, he can't be the same AJ because, remember, he was number one. He was the only thing out there. Every time you had him out there, they was doubling him. But he looked like the route running, the hands, the catching. He looked like AJ. And I'm saying, you know, the next matchup might be more favorable for him. Who knows? But we'll see how that goes. But I don't think he's faded away where you didn't see he was making an impact. He was part of that game to me as well.
Yeah. I just thought I was going to see a little bit more from him, I think. Right. I mean, Kirk's performance definitely surprised me, but – it all depends on how the defenses line up. I think defense overlooked Kirk a little bit, and he ran over him.
You're right. That slot receiver is always that guy that gets, you know, sometimes they get more attention, but you can overlook a guy. And we got two guys on both ends. If Rondale Moore starts to make plays and you got Kirk, man, it's going to be hard to stop. I personally didn't hear this guy's name all day long on the defensive end. And that everybody's been talking about the J.J. Watts and of course the Chandler Jones and Byron Murphy's and even Wilson. But Robert Alford balled out yesterday. In that game. I watched that game over and over. The play where Simmons got the pick, Alford actually caused that pick because he was all over Julio. over him and hit his hand. He hit the back of his hand and made Julio hit it up. So it was Robert was all over the place, looking like the old Robert Alford. Now if you got those three guys, Murphy, Alford, and Wilson, balling like that, man, I'm gonna tell you what
the tenacity that they're playing with is great.
Exactly. I'm gonna show you what they not missing. The Cardinals, they ain't missing this because you know our next week opponent. Mr. Pete Toot has been talking. I want to show you something that I saw on tape.
I know where you're going with this.
This is what ticks me off about this dude when he was here the 2 years and then the mouth running. But this is what we're talking about. Just check this play out, man. I know you probably know what I'm saying, but look at this play. I'm going to run this play, and you just watch this. Okay, the ball's in play. That's a wide receiver running. Who's trotting? You see him? Mm-hmm. Did you see number 7 trotting?
I did.
Same old stuff from last 2 years. I'm going to play it one more time. This is why nobody's worried that Patrick Peterson is not here anymore, because this, look, watch him. That's not my guy. I could just trot. That ain't my guy. I don't have to hustle to get into that play and try to strip that ball away. I don't have to. That's not my guy. I didn't get burnt. That's somebody else getting burnt. That's what he plays like. Do you see that play? all day. I watched that game too and watched him do that all day long. And you could go back to every Cardinal tape and every game last year. That's exactly how he plays. I never seen a guy make so many business decisions in a game. It's crazy. Now a physical corner would hustle to that ball and try to strip it. This guy doesn't even see him behind him. If he hustles to that play, he could try to strip that ball away and they could still stay in that game. What did he do? He just jogged it out. I mean, that's why nobody's worried about him not being here anymore. You got to play that out, man. You got to hustle to that ball and strip that ball from this receiver who doesn't even see you coming. But nope, I'm going to trot it out. That ain't my dude. Man, that ticks me off, man. When I see that going, he's doing the same thing over there, making business decisions.
Yeah. There was a, you know, you had that tape. I didn't think it was actually the one that you were going to pull up. There's another play from this game where luckily Peterson's man wasn't targeted, but it was the rookie from Cincinnati, the receiver. I can't remember his name. I was trying to find it before.
Oh,
but
Chase?
He had Peterson on skates, basically facing his bench going, right. Oh, wait, you're over here.
Yeah.
And had he been targeted, that would have been a big film.
I'm not so much worried about him getting burnt by a receiver. That's going to happen to every corner. I'm talking about the effort he puts out on the field. That's that effort right there is like, oh, I'm just going to jog over there. Man, those are the plays that make a difference. Now, when you look at the corners we have right now and how they play, do you think any one of those dudes would have watched the ball right there in front of them and not chase that dude down and knock that ball out or try to knock it out or pull it out? Man, that disturbs me seeing that. Like, that's the type of guy he has become. He's playing for the name on his back and what he's done in the past rather than playing for the team. And he has been playing that way for the last 2 years. I don't know what happened to him, but he's been playing that way. I'm not going to go out there to get hurt. I'm going to trot. I'm not going to worry. It's not my man. And it's like, I didn't get burnt. He got burnt.
Well, you know, I just sent you it. It was a Twitter thread from the check down. It was Jamar. Yeah. And he,
Jamar Chase. Oh, you sent it? Oh, yeah,
I sent it to you. So, man. If you guys need it, I will put it in the video.
You get a shot because that I want to see that. I watched that game too. I don't think I saw that part though. But when I saw that, and that one play I just showed you was one play. I saw numerous plays when the opposite corner or whoever is defending is making a play on the ball or tackling somebody. He's just trotting over there to make sure they do make the tackle before he has to get involved in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, trust me, I don't not dislike him as a person. I just dislike how the effort he puts out there and then all the talking that comes along with it. If he comes in with that type of attitude, and I know he will because that's how he's playing right now. If he comes in with that attitude next week, he's going to get killed. Yeah. I mean, these receivers going to eat him alive. And I got a feeling that we're going to try to show him up because he can't stay with anybody, first of all. Second of all, he doesn't hustle. He will not hustle to the ball. He won't.
He's going to go up against. Who's he going to match up with?
If I'm Cliff Kingsbury and they're moving him around or they're not moving him around and they're keeping him on one side, I'm lining Rondale Moore up on him every time because he has trouble with speed. He can't handle speed. So –
That's not bad.
Rondale, run 9 routes all day long on Patrick and throw them on him all day long. That's what I would do. Because we know he can handle the big physical dude. He's going to get in the big physical dude's face and try to push that dude around and whatever. Him and AJ Green can go at it back because they used to go at it anyway when he was Cardinal. So he can battle with AJ, but Hop, Rondale, Kirk, throw 9 routes on him all day long, and he will. I'm telling you, he will be embarrassed because he doesn't show forth the effort that it takes to play that position right now. Now he's delegated to almost a safety because they had him in a space out there, and he was just, I'm gonna cover this space, and kind of like Richard Sherman. At least Richard Sherman would have came up and hit that ball out of that dude's hand. I guarantee.
Well, that's what we used to talk about with what do we do with him? We move him to safety, but he isn't how to go. You know, take those hits. And that's what's tough because you need to see his career out here. Now, that would have been the transition to make is to put him to safety, but he's just not that guy to hit.
Right.
If it would have been like, so say like Byron Murphy 10 years from now, All right, he's lost some speed. What do you do? Put him at safety. Byron Murphy's going to hit people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. He's maybe a little undersized, but he's still going to hit people. You couldn't have done that with Peterson as much as I wanted it and said about it and talked about it and tried and petitioned and made a GoFundMe or whatever. It didn't turn out that way. It just didn't.
But these type of plays, the stuff I look at on tape, those type of effort plays are things that turn a game or make a game or turn games in your favor. And now you can see a play like that and go, now you know why we struggled so much on defense last year and the last 2 years. You see why. And being a leader, everybody's going to follow that leader. And if they follow in this, am I being unreasonable to say that this is ridiculous? I mean, tell me, am I being unreasonable to say that this is ridiculous? If I'm watching this, this is my leader. Oh, you screwed if that's your leader, dude. Sorry.
No, you've got to. Do I want to speculate and say I'd change when Matthew left? Was demotivating factor for him?
I don't know.
When he lost his buddy? And I mean, because everyone plays buddy ball and then you lose your buddy, and I mean a roommate even. That could be tough, but at the same time, everyone's gonna say it. JB would say it, anyone would say it. You're a pro, do your job.
Do your job.
That's not trotting down there is not your job. So it's a bad look. That, it's a bad look.
Not only that, play for your teammates. Okay, the dude got burnt. Got tricked on the play because everybody thought it was a 4th-and-1, and the Bengals just said we've been losing all these. Who we ain't got nothing to lose. So 4th-and-1.
We go for it every time.
Yeah. Hey, throw the ball. This dude gets killed. Okay, yeah, your boy got burnt, but that positioning that he's in right now, if he's hustling in that position right now, this tight end's fighting with the DB. He doesn't even see Patrick behind him.
That ball's right there.
And punches that ball up. That's a fumble. You know what I'm saying? Try to make a play for your teammates. This dude is making his own business decisions for himself. He's selfish. He planned for himself. He don't want to get hurt. I watched that game. He doesn't want to hit anything. And I know I don't want to make this all about Patrick, but I'm just saying I can't wait till Sunday. That's all I'm saying. So I can't wait till Sunday. Because if that's the effort that we're going to see on Sunday, look out.
You know, also he is on a 1 year contract, and we know how players can tend to play on those 1 year deals. They don't want to chance the next contract. I get that too, but
at some point, Sean, you got to put something on tape. You know what I'm saying? If he runs up and make a play right there and cause a fumble, they don't lose that game. I mean, that's something on tape you can say, see, oh, Patrick did, his name didn't come up, and it's not because they didn't throw at him,
right?
So, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to Sunday's game. That's for sure.
Now, the question is, do I wear my Patrick Peterson jersey? I mean, what do I wear? I don't know. I don't know what to wear. I don't know.
Good luck with that one. You might get ran out the building.
My wife might not even let me leave the house.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that game next week. I know I spend a lot of time on that, but that I'm screaming at the tape all day long watching stuff like that. That just makes me go, oh man, any coach see that on tape, somebody's got to get up in this dude's grill at some point. Because he is playing for the name on his back. I'm telling you. This is why he got offended that Steve Keim did not talk or bring him back, or he got offended because I'm Patrick Peterson. I am that top, whatever. That's what I've always been. But, dude, it's all about what you're doing now that counts, and ain't nobody seeing it. So, I don't know. That's just funny to me. But I'm looking at this game next week, and, of course, it's home. It's a home game. You don't want to come in there letting up. You got to come in there and have the same attitude. Stop the run, right?
Yeah.
Stop the run. That's got to get – Dalvin Cook cannot be dominating that game like we didn't allow Henry to do. So, that's pretty much the game plan.
He only had 61 yards against Cincinnati, and I don't think Cincinnati's a stout defense by any means. So,
right.
I mean, you're going to make him one-dimensional, then you just have Thielen to worry about. It looks a lot easier now after what we saw what they could do against Tennessee, right? I mean, it looks totally different. And Minnesota allowed 410 yards, whereas the Cardinals allowed 304. So you're looking at a 106-yard difference. I mean, that's a field. That's 7 points.
When that game started, when the Cardinal game started and how that first drive went, we saw all those penalties, those four penalties that actually it was five.
It felt like seven, but yes.
Yeah, five, but four got enforced. One, it just kind of got declined or whatever. But still, I thought that was the worst performance of any team with penalties. They were not the worst team. Minnesota was the worst team. I started watching that game. They had nine penalties in their first drive or the first two drives. Nine plus. All of them from the offensive line. Offsides, holding, offsides. I was like, am I watching the Cardinals from last year? You know, I'm telling you. I was like, I thought we were the worst team with the penalties. They were horrific with them. So coming into this game, man, they look like a discombobulated group of up front. Man, you got to take advantage of them quick because you don't want them to – you know how Minnesota does. This is what they do every single year. Everybody knows. They start slow. They start very, very slow. Then they start to pick it up. When they get to 500, they start picking it up.
Yeah.
During the middle of the season, the offense starts rolling. So you get them early, go ahead and spank them, put up a 40 burger on them and have the bragging rights over PT.
And ask them if they like that.
Exactly. Because they probably won't. They start 0-2.
You like that?
The good thing they got going for them right now is Green Bay's not playing all that great. So
that whole division is a mare. Out the gate, just right down.
Man, everything on the West is 1-0. AFC and NFC. Man, that game last night was freaking awesome. Did you watch any of the Monday night game last night?
I did. Yeah. Shout out to Jay for them Raiders. Raiders, baby.
That Darren freaking Waller is a beast. How do you stop a guy like that?
You don't.
And somebody said it on the show the other night. He might be surpassing Kelce and Kittle as the number one tight end. I have to agree with that.
Him and Carr are just barely second between Mahomes and Kelce on their passing and touchdowns and that relationship. So they've already taken over Kittle and whatever you want to call him now, Jimmy Jesus or whatever you call him. Jimmy going to be last in the NFC. That's all.
Yeah, I'm tripping, man. I was like, wow, that dude is unstoppable. I got to find a way to get that dude on the fantasy team and lock him in. Period. Lock him in.
I got him on mine.
Ah, you freak. I did a draft the other day when we had our draft and took me 2 minutes to walk away from my computer, sitting there for my draft time's coming up. Some dude's on the clock taking his sweet time, and I'm coming up in three picks later. So I was like, oh, 2 minutes per day. I got a couple of minutes to go run and grab something. Came back. Somebody snatched Kyler from me. I'm like, oh, man. So I end up with Baker Mayfield, and that dude didn't even put up the numbers that I thought he would put up in that game against the Chiefs. But that's fantasy football for you.
Yeah, and I'm that fantasy football guy where, like, I ended up accidentally auto-drafting because, you know, my life with kids, I had to auto-draft one time. So I ended up with Russell Wilson. I'm like, okay, who wants him? I'm trading. I don't want Russell Wilson. I don't want any NFC West enemies.
Straight, I went out there and lit them up, though, in that game.
Still going to trade you. I'm Coles savage.
Couldn't stop them either. So
I'm a savage GM. Yeah, kinda, get out of here.
There's too many other good, you know, options out there. But Russell's not bad to have, though, because he can still run the ball. He can stand. He definitely can throw the rock. So. I think I'd take him over Baker if I was in the same league with you. But, man, it was a pretty good week one overall. I mean, aside from the injuries, we know that's part of football. But, man, out of all the games that we watched and we're anticipating, I mean, the Cardinals stand out. I mean, they're like a thumb standing out. Like, man, did you see that game?
Yeah.
And you can see all the national – people
overreacting.
Overreacting. I mean, we even heard Stephen A. talk about they're going to be this, they're going to be that, and MVP for Kyler Murray. And I'm like, man, we ain't ever had this much pub since I don't know what. We went to the NFC Championship game.
And if this next game is close, we won't hear them talk about us for another 4 weeks. That's exactly. Just how it goes.
Exactly. And that's what I'm hoping we don't, you know, we're going to see. Are they really that team we saw the day before? Or are they going to be the real one we're going to see coming in on at home that can't perform at home because they got everybody watching them? But I don't know. If they do what they did and it starts on defense, if that defense shows up, and I don't have any reason to believe that defense and those corners are not going to battle and go physical with Thielen and Jefferson, because that's a good receiving core they got over here in Minnesota. So they got to be on their P's and Q's.
Sure.
But man, that's gonna be exciting to watch, man. So that's our time is up for tonight, bro. And I'm gonna try to see if we can get a guest come in here probably by the end of the week or so to do a preview of the next game. I know we got the neutral zone jumping off on Thursday night. We make all the picks with you, so join us on Thursday night right here on KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. I'm Earl Burnett. He is Sean McConnell. Till next time, Bird Gang. Peace out.